You're listening to the Literally Katrina podcast with your host, Katrina Sklepowicz, live from Winnipeg. This is Winnipeg's podcast series about book reviews, author interviews, and literary news. Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of the Literally Katrina podcast. I am so happy to have you with me, and I will say I do have a bit of a cold, so bear with me. I know my voice is a little scratchier than usual, but we will get through it together and have a great episode. So Halloween is right around the corner, and I have two slightly spooky reads you may want to check out this week to get in that Halloween mood. Actually, both books are books that my book club, appropriately called the It's Literally a Book Club, has read. So we met this past weekend to chat about our most recent read. We gathered for brunch at Smith Restaurant at the Inn at the Forks here in Winnipeg. And if you haven't been, you should definitely go. It's so chic inside. The decor is like hipster Canadiana perfection. And the food is absolutely delicious. We had such a great time, and I love the conversations that come out of reading. It's also a great excuse to hang out with my girlfriends, so pretty much book club is my favorite. Now, if you aren't part of a book club, totally think about joining one or starting one up yourself. It's easy, rewarding, and fun. Red River College's own Joanne Kelly, who is one of my instructors, also runs a book club out of McNally Robinson, so that might be a great solution for you. They meet the last Tuesday of each month, and you can find the book list on the McNally website. Joanne's amazing, and she loves books as much, if not more, than I do, so she is the perfect book club guide. Now, you can also follow along with the It's Literally a Book Club and see what we're reading and join us on our reading journey. And I would really love it if you did. Check out the book club tab on the Literally Katrina website, and you can meet the book clubbers there, see which books we'll be reading next, and also check out our past reads and our ratings. It's very fun. So I'm going to go over those two Halloween reads later on. And today you're also going to hear from Leslie Crew, a lovely writer from Eastern Canada. She was in town promoting her new book, Amazing Grace, a couple of weeks ago, just like the song, and I had the chance to catch up with her at the Winnipeg Free Press News Cafe. She is truly delightful, and so is Amazing Grace. It's a story that is both powerful and gentle. It focuses on the themes of loss, perseverance, and ultimately family. And I personally love books that wrap things up with nice bows and no one seriously gets harmed at the end and we're not at this like cliffhanger where you don't know what's going to happen. We get nice resolutions we can smile at. And Amazing Grace does just that, though not without some serious twists and curveballs. If you're looking for a new read that captures everyday life and love and relationships in a witty, heartfelt, and really pure way, this is just the perfect fit. So after we listen in on my interview with Leslie, I will bring it back to Halloween and tell you about the two It's Literally a Book Club reads that are perfect for this time of year. So let's get started with Leslie. So I'm sitting here with the lovely Leslie Crew, who wrote Amazing Grace out now.
Yay.
And it's awesome, and we're going to chat about it.
Super.
So Leslie, tell me about what inspired Grace.
Actually, Grace came to me as a 9-year-old.
Really?
Yes, as soon as I just heard the phrase Amazing Grace, and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if a little kid thought they were amazing with the name. And so that got me thinking, and it sort of gave me sort of a religious kind of overtone to, you know, we all know the
song, yeah.
So that just gave me a little jumping off point. But then when I started, I realized I wanted to introduce her as a 60-year-old. So I wanted her to have gone through her life.
Right.
You're going to meet her, and then all of a sudden you're going to go back into her, you know,
childhood.
Story,
you know. Yeah, and you meet almost different versions of Grace as she's on her journey. And when I was reading the beginning of the book, I'm going, man, this lady's crass. Like, I wonder what it is about her. You know, she's got some colorful language, we'll say. She has some colorful language and some interesting living
situations yes. happening, and you're going, who's this lady? And you kind of, like, you admire her, but you're not sure about her. But then as you begin to learn about why she's estranged from her son, or why there's this odd relationship between her son and her granddaughter and herself, you fall in love with her because she is so strong. She's not, like, she's crass. At the end of it, you're going, this is the sweetest woman, even though her last sentence has an expletive in it.
Exactly. That's why I like her. She's the kind of character that I wish I could be.
Oh, she's spunky.
Yeah, and she says her mind, and she's no nonsense, but she's, you know, got a heart of gold. And often people dismiss sort of rough around the edges kind of people.
Yeah.
But you don't know their backstory, and you don't know anything about their lives. And so I wanted Grace to... I wanted her to be a survivor. I felt she was a survivor, even as a child.
Absolutely,
but
she was.
Wounded. And, you know, and spent the rest of her life looking for her family.
Which is heartbreaking. I'm so glad that you wrapped things up the way you did, because in my mind, I got to the point where we were back to the present day. Things were rectified with Melissa and Jonathan, and I'm thinking, well, that's the end of the story. All's happy. But then you remind me that no, she's still gonna find her mom and Maria and the rest of her family before she can feel whole. And so sometimes I just long for the happy ending. I've been reading all these books that just, they're not happy endings. And I'm like, hey, what is this trend of making me sad? I want a book where I get what I want. And I got what I wanted with this one.
Well, that's good. I mean, the ending doesn't always have to be happy, but it's got to be resolved
yes.
in some way. And hopefully the reader does feel good about it.
Oh, I did.
However it, you know, turns out. But, it's all good.
It's all good. And, you threw some tricky sidewinders in there that I did not expect. Where did the inspiration for Grace and Maria's upbringing at like a polygamous cult come from?
It doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to know what it must be like to be a child in a situation that you can't control.
No kidding.
And you see these families, these religious, you know, sort of, I guess they're cults.
Or fundamentalists, or fanatics.
Fanatics of any kind. And they do what they want, and the children are just
byproducts, basically.
And so what happens to those kids? Like, what happens to them? And that's what happens to them. And so I was just, but I was very, I was determined that Grace was going to get out of it herself.
Yeah.
Although, obviously, she went from the fat into the fire.
No kidding.
You know, but how could she not? A wounded soul.
And a young kid, 12 years old.
Exactly.
And just so vulnerable. And it, I think because that was set back in the 60s then when Grace was a kid, you really see the inadequacies of the child protective system here, where they go straight from removing the child and not giving her any therapy, it seemed like. Just hospital, right? Because of burns and digging in the ground. So she needed some health recovery, but they didn't look at her mental health. And I think that still happens today.
That's for sure.
Like, we remove the kids from the bad situation, not the bad people from the situation.
And I'm sure, you know, every attempt to do anything is very, is genuine.
Yes.
But I don't think that they can get to everybody. And there's a lot of people that slip through the cracks. And
Grace and her sister, especially Maria, those are two who really slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
And that part was heartbreaking, just seeing Grace spiral. And then even when things did go well for her, she met her wonderful aunts, Pearl and May, whom I love. Both of them I love equally, but I think Pearl is like the hero of the book.
Pearl is a big character.
She's a big character.
I want to be her.
Right? Like, if we could all just be this classy lady who's got, you know, one shade of lipstick that she only wears occasionally, but with this great makeup vanity.
Yeah, she's the type of person, like, sometimes only one person, you only need one person to change your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all have choices, and it's all paths that we can go either way. Mm-hmm. But somebody like Aunt Pearl comes along and helps you with a backbone and helps you know that you're just not alone in the world.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. I mean, she didn't, like, do all that. She took care of her is all she did. She took care of her. And
she may not have done it right off the hop.
She expected. Yep. She
was an old woman. Yeah, she was like...
She was a spinster. I mean, she didn't, you know, she wasn't motherly, but she was in a perfect sense.
Yeah, and she was exactly what Grace needed. Without Grace knowing it, maybe she's going, this annoying old lady just wants me to go to church, and I'm like, no thanks.
I loved her.
I really thought that she changed the story and kind of defined what Grace wanted to be. So even when people were saying, you're just like your Aunt Grace, first she's going, wait, am I? And towards the end she's going, boy,
I'm glad
I am. Yeah. What a flattering thing to say.
Yeah, that's true.
And even when things go relatively well, she finally finds a man she can semi-trust in Aaron, who becomes her husband. Whose sexuality I was not surprised by, actually. I was like, it made sense with the platonic relationship they seemed to have. But she felt safe for a moment.
Yeah.
And then evil, angry old man comes in and ruins things. And she spirals back into drinking and to drugs. And I was like, no, Grace, you were so close. And I don't know how she pulls herself out of it. I read that spot over when she decides, okay, time to go to nursing school. I'm going, who makes that decision so maturely when they're in the deep, dark spaces?
Well, I think she, in that incident...
She wakes up.
She was pretty, you know, pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
Where else can you go?
Yeah.
You know, you're being, you know, been beaten up, and you know, her friend is
equally messed up, right? And also put through the same situation growing up.
Well, I think she saw herself in her friend. That was one way of going, you know.
And I don't want.
I don't want to do that. I want to go in another direction, and I think that's. And she knew that Aunt Pearl would be proud of her. If she used that money, it was always for her education. That's what she was supposed to do. And she finally got herself together to do it.
Yeah.
Because I think at that point she had given up trying to find her family.
Oh. And both families, whether it was her child, Jonathan, or her sisters, or her mom, or anyone else that she didn't know she had. But, just Grace. I loved her. This is a book that made me just want to keep reading, even though I'm always the one chapter more girl. I spent hours just finding out, okay, what happens next, because...
People usually say that about my books.
That's like high praise.
But they're very easy to read.
Yeah, it's because your characters are relatable.
Well, I want to write about ordinary moments.
Yeah.
Our whole life is made up of ordinary moments. There's very few special, fabulous moments. So the majority of your life is just about moments like this.
Yeah.
So people, when they read my books, they get to see that. They can tell the truth. They know when you're telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And they see themselves in the book and know that they're not alone.
Yeah.
And I only write what is important to me. Like I only started writing novels when I was 50, okay? So.
That's amazing.
8 novels 10 years later.
That's wild. Like, it'll take me, you know, the next 50 years to write one, maybe.
You have to live your life before you can write about it.
No kidding. You need a little bit of experience before you can put pen to paper.
Yes, just don't relax.
Just live your life.
As old as, you know, Methuselah, and still, you know, give a message. So no, I never, like I said, didn't aspire to be a writer. I was always told that I was the writer of the family. People like getting my letters, and so that was it. No, when I did the first one, I did it for myself, and it was just weird how it got published, and that's the one that they made the movie of. You know,
like it's just, so cool. It's and like, you're like, how did this happen?
Yeah, basically.
What a neat thing to kind of fall into a little bit.
It was great. I was just at Word on the Street in Halifax, and some guy bought my book. He took it home, and I guess he got in touch with me a couple of months later, and he said, "Do you own your film rights?" And I said, "Yes, I do," because that was one thing the writer's fed told me.
Okay.
When I signed the contract, she said, "Don't give up your film rights." I said, "Well, as if anybody's ever going to make a film."
So you just sign it, right? Yeah.
Well, but she said, "No, that's a deal breaker." So that was the only thing I asked for, and I got it. So when I got the film, I got all the money. I didn't have to share it.
That's phenomenal.
I know.
And you're like, woohoo, I'm a winner.
Anyway, but the most exciting thing for me was that they asked me to write the screenplay.
Whoa, that's so cool.
That the writer gets to do the screenplay. But I did the first two drafts. They hired me for the first. They hired me for the second. And then there was other writers brought in, and then the director comes.
Wow.
Because she has to, they have to make the scenes according to their budget.
Right.
So it's complicated. It's very complicated. I would not want to be in film. I wouldn't be an actress ever.
It's
they
that tricky age.
Such a difficult job.
My goodness. I can only imagine. I got my first taste of screenwriting last year in school.
Oh, yeah.
And I was not good in it. Not good in it.
It kind of is like homework.
A little bit.
Just
edit, breaking down edit, the story.
Edit, and take out everything that's not necessary.
Well, like, and there's so much you can...
Writing better, though.
I'm sure. And there's so much you can put on the page in a book. Like that background information and all those great atmospheric... descriptions that you don't put in your screenplay because it all has to be visual. And how tricky is that? Going, no, I made the setting for a reason. We need Cape Breton. We need these beautiful lakes and we need this house. And they're going, no time to describe. Just tell me, my set guy will build it. But we don't say it in the play or on the film.
No, so that was a big learning experience. But anyway, they've optioned another one. So,
which one?
Shooting.
Wow.
That's the second one.
Are you going to write some of the script?
No, I'm not doing this one. I mean, the first one took 6 years, and I'm not interested.
Six years, hey?
It took us all 6 years to write it. It just took 6 years to get it into production.
Right.
And I'm not interested in that. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
I've already written the book. I don't need to...
That's just neat.
But anyway, so we'll see. It was supposed to start next year, but...
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
I'll have to go see it.
Oh my gosh, but you can get this one. Apparently, iTunes movies, you can buy it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They should make Amazing Grace into a film or even a TV show.
A lot of people have said that in all of the books. Just because they're very easy. When you're reading it, you're seeing the movie in your head.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and the setting. Oh my gosh, I knew that farmhouse in a second. I understood the trailer in a second. I can picture Nan with her blue hair with no problems. I'm like, I've met this lady before. And I think that's what's so great about these books is that they're, like you said, these are ordinary people living ordinary moments. And that's why we can kind of pick them out and say, that's my great aunt.
Exactly.
And my grandparents lived in a trailer just like that. And I just thought, how enjoyable, how real.
Aww.
And kind of how Canadian.
Well, like I try to tell my students, if I go into schools and the writers in school program, you know, you don't have to be from an exotic place to have a wonderful story.
Although to me, in Little Old Prairie Girl, it's pretty exotic to think about Cape Breton. And even Southern Ontario, I can't picture the old Wainwright farm. That I can't see. I can't see a compound because I've never seen one before.
Their little community and this little island has so many fabulous stories. And, you know, I tell them to go and interview their grandparents and their great-grandparents and ask them about what it was like to live here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And they kind of, and they sort of look at you and say, do you realize how lucky you are? Do you realize how many people come to this island because they've never seen the ocean? Or they've never seen wildlife, or they've never seen stars because of light pollution, or they've never seen, you know, like we have a lot to offer. And I said, always be proud that you're from a little island like Cape Cod.
Sometimes
people, we always sort of get a bad rap. It's always like, you know, the Cape Bretoners, and the mental image used to be of, you know, welfare recipients and no Newfoundlanders now, and everybody so this and that. But we know the truth. And it's just, I just like to celebrate it. I only like to say, right, things that I'm interested in.
I think Manitoba has the same kind of, people are like, poo-poo Manitoba. You know, we're all wearing plaid and or denim.
Why do people do that?
I don't know. Stereotype us. Yeah.
I know. That just irritates me. So I think your themes, when you write a book, it's pretty universal everywhere. Everybody knows what it's like to fall in love. And everybody knows what it's like to have a friend betray you. And everybody just knows how that feels. So I mean, there's other writers out there who should be writing about the CIA and whatever, but I don't know about it. And I'm not interested. So I'll just write what I would like to write. And if I never write another book again, that's perfectly fine. Do you know what I mean? I'm not...
You're not doing it for anyone else but you. Do you find that when you write, you're writing stories that you wish you could find in the bookstore and it's just not there, so you'll write it for yourself?
There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of books that I like out there. And I like a lot of British writers.
Okay.
And
you have to tell me what's on your to-be-read pile.
Oh, my God. Actually, I just bought, it was just a word on the street. Or where was I? No, it wasn't Toronto, it was Ottawa. I wrote I bought the latest volume of Alice Munro's, stories.
Yes.
2000 or what?
Yes, I can see the cover in my head.
So the later stuff. Because I thought, there's a woman who won a Nobel Prize writing about rural women.
Yeah. Not the lords and ladies. Just...
not Game of Thrones. It's ordinary people living ordinary lives.
Yeah.
But she's so brilliant that the writing part of it makes it compelling.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, because I just feel, like, I don't feel this, but some people say, well, you know, you're just writing about country, you know, in the country.
Joe Blow, anybody, yeah.
And
no way.
If you don't like it,
I love it all. I love everything from the really outlandish. I've read all of Game of Thrones, and I'm like, I'm into that stuff. And I grew up on Harry Potter.
Well, I know the film. The kids caught me in on the movie, the Game of Thrones, but I haven't read it yet.
Oh, they're a lot. They're a lot to digest.
I don't think my brain could comprehend it now.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure you could. It's but I do. I love the crazy stuff, but I also love ordinary life. And I always have to mix it up. I can't just read straight fantasy. Four, five books.
You always got 5 books on the go?
Generally, yeah. I gotta have my regular life in there. Yeah. And speaking of British authors, I think, you know, J.K. Rowling had created the Harry Potter world, and then she came out with The Casual Vacancy, and people were like, meh. But I loved it, because it was just about ordinary people. And regular, like, municipal disputes that happen in every city, even if you're not from, you know... Leeds or...
Well, she took a chance because obviously everybody's going to look down. You know, she could never...
Top Harry Potter.
But good for her. No, she just likes to write. So write a story.
Any story, really. And I love her new mysteries under her pseudonym.
Yes.
They're really good.
I haven't read any of them yet. I started Casual Vacancies now, and I'm trying to figure out what I did with it.
It's good. It's worth finishing.
But yeah, I think I'll just go home and read for a while.
Yeah, take a break after this tour.
Yes, do the tour. Well, you always have to do the tour in September, and then into October, and then that'll be it. Might go to a few things before Christmas. And was lucky, though, I guess, even before it came out of the warehouse, the printer said it was reprinted.
No way.
Yeah, because Walmart picked it up or something.
That's huge.
Bestseller lists or whatever across Canada. So I thought, holy moly. Yeah, that's very nice. You know,
this is really nice.
But what I'm really proud of is just a couple of days ago, there was a little thing in our local paper. The Cape Breton Regional Library made a list of the top 10 books that are, you know, just the lists of the books that have been taken out
over
a period of time. And their words by a landslide. It was Relative Happiness, which is the first one. Second was Lyndon McIntyre, and I thought, oh, wow.
The Bishop's Man.
I know.
Yeah.
Really? I wouldn't have guessed that. Then another Cape Breton writer, and then I've got the 4 and 5. So top three of five. And I thought, wow, that's
special. That is so special.
You know, I
feel like I'm with a celebrity right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, out of five top books, she's got the top three.
It's only in the library.
It's still cool.
Like they're being bought. Like, yeah, I do well. It's all good.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on this awesome podcast episode, Leslie. It's such a pleasure to meet you.
Well, it's lovely to meet you, honey.
Awesome. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
What a pleasure chatting with Leslie. Amazing Grace is out now, and you can find it at all major book retailers in the country, and it's also available online. I hope you enjoy it. Please let me know what you think. Send me a tweet at @LitKatrina, write to me on the Literally Katrina Facebook page, or write a comment below. I'd love to hear from you. And you'll also find the trailer to the book posted in this podcast post, so definitely watch that and let me know what you think. Okay, so moving on to Halloween. This is one of my favorite times of the year. I love autumn and that inherently spooky vibe it brings with it. Falling crunchy leaves, bare trees, cloudy skies, and gloomy days. Just the perfect setup for a good cozy read and a delicious cup of tea. Or maybe some wine. It depends on the day of the week. This time of year, I always read something like Wuthering Heights or Jane Eyre or The 13th Tale by Diane Sutterfield or any one of Kate Morton's books. As you know from last episode, a new one just came out called The Lake House this week. Those types of books just give me that feeling. I don't know about you, but certain books definitely fit with certain seasons. And the It's Literally a Book Club has read two books that really fit with the Halloween season. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about those. And you can check them out just in time for Halloween. The first book is The Tuesday Club Murders by Agatha Christie, who is, of course, the true queen of mystery. It's a tiny book made up of several short stories, all featuring the incredible Miss Marple, a lady who has an uncanny ability to solve puzzles and mysteries. Together with an odd group of friends who like to share murder stories, which is a bit random, Miss Marple and her colleagues run through solutions to each murder mystery, each story topping the last. Honestly, when I picked this book for my book club to read, I chose it because it sounded exactly like the game of Clue. I seriously thought one of the characters was going to be murdered, and then we'd have to find out who the culprit was as the story unfolded. That's so not the case, but this book is still extremely entertaining. Half the fun of reading this one is playing detective and trying to figure out who committed each crime and how, but I recommend just immersing yourself in Christie's masterful storytelling and letting the story simply unfold. Guaranteed, there will be some murders you can solve and there will be others you absolutely cannot solve, and it's up to Miss Marple to save the day. So if you're looking for a short, easy, and entertaining read this week, definitely pick up The Tuesday Club Murders by Agatha Christie. They make for perfect bedtime reading when you're in need of something short and a little bit mysterious, but not too creepy. The second book that It's Literally a Book Club read recently is The Secret History by Donna Tartt. And that's the book that we just read for October that we gathered together to talk about this weekend. You are probably familiar with Donna Tartt because her novel The Goldfinch won the Pulitzer last year. I read and enjoyed it a lot, and then The Secret History was recommended to me, and I thought I'd check it out. Now, I'll be very honest with you, this was one of our most controversial book club reads. Only three of us finished. I definitely read it, and I think you need to know up front that this book makes you work a little bit. It's a wordy and pretty description-heavy and very character-driven, which I really like. You have to commit to it. But if you do commit, it's super rewarding. This book is on a whole host of top 10 lists. It was released, 25 years ago, but it's still super popular, super beloved. So much so that when my book clubbers went to purchase their copies, only one store in Winnipeg had any available. So definitely people are still buying it, people are still talking about it, and that really enticed me to read it. Frankly, people love it. The description sounds very How to Get Away with Murder meets the Dead Poets Society, which in some ways is spot on. But I'll be clear, this is a novel I had to work at too. Getting into it doesn't come easy, but it's pretty crazy and worth the read. There's some Greek mythology mixed into late 80s campus debauchery, is the best way I can put it, with some very pretentious students. It is very much like How to Get Away with Murder in the absence of a very strong Annalise character. If you watch the show on TV, there is a character like Annalise named Julian who kind of leads these students through Greek mythology instead of law or criminal law, but he definitely doesn't like cover up their murders or anything. But anyways, it is a crazy, crazy story. Lots of drugs and alcohol in this one, but very interesting outcomes, and I was shocked at the end. I thought the ending was very shocking, and I like when I'm surprised. So this one has everything you need for Halloween. It's got some mystery, it's got some murder, it's got some bizarre characters, it's got some mythology and legend mixed in there that makes you wondering what's real, what isn't, for a little bit, and it's definitely worth the commitment. So these are the two, it's literally a book club reads, that I can recommend to you for Halloween. Thank you so much for listening to episode 4 of the Literally Katrina podcast, and thank you so much to Leslie Crew for letting me interview you. That was such a treat. Coming up next week, we're going to hear from the amazing Anita Dare, who's a Winnipeg author, and I got to sit down with her twice. And you're going to hear from one of our interviews. She's just the loveliest. And we're also going to talk about more book things. So get excited. And I will be talking to you in 2 weeks' time. Until then, happy reading.